We pray that your will be done, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's on.
Come on, come look at this.
Now about some strange occurrences happening across the country.
Look.
It has also been confirmed that these occurrences are happening around the world as well. We are waiting on an official statement right now from the Federal Emergency
Management.
Can you see it out here? Oh, my gosh.
Good morning. How is everybody? Good? You dry, right? I'm probably the wettest person in here. I've been sweating. Is anybody else like hot? Yeah, it's like muggy in here. I didn't want to freeze you guys out. I was trying to be thoughtful, but somebody's got to do something. Sorry. This is muggy. It's not hot, but it's muggy, and it's just rained just a little bit. So I guess we've got a reason for that. But anyway, thank you so much for being here. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here at URA Church, and it's just good to have you here with us and be here for week two of our series titled The End. And, last week we were here for the beginning of the end, and here we are in the middle of the end. And so next week we'll be at the end of the end. So, just come and figure out what all that means. But here's the cool part. Today we're going to be digging into some more truths that we find about the end times. We know that that's something that we all have questions about. Whether we want to admit it or not, we all fear the end coming, and we know that on earth there is an end that will always come to our bodies. There's always going to be some end. We will take our last breath, or we will be caught up in the air, as the scripture teaches, and we'll meet Jesus when he comes back. But there's going to be an end, even if you don't believe in Jesus. And if you're, and that's you here today, hey, listen, we're glad you're here, because I wouldn't want you to be anywhere else. But if that's you today, you need to understand that you're going to take your last breath. We all know that death is inevitable. And so if we just go on that premise, there is an end coming for all of us. But I believe more intently, though, because of what the Bible teaches and the accuracy of what it's done in the past, you know, accuracy is proven by what's happened before and can be lined up. And so we know the prophecies that were made about Jesus coming the first time were accurate. And so now we know that there's even more prophecy about him coming back. So we need to be ready. And we learned all that last week. And so today we're going to continue on. We have that foundation built from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 last week. And if you weren't here last week and you missed it, listen, that no problem. Go to our website, urechurch.com, and look at the sermon archives and just pick it up and listen there on the podcast, and you can catch right up to where we are. But and even catch up with series we've done in the past. So good source for you, a great resource. You need to be making sure that you take advantage of that. Make sure that you tell your friends about that. If somebody's asking you questions about different things and you know we've talked about it, send them to the website. Let them go listen to those messages and hear what the Bible has to say about their questions. But we learned last week that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead, those that are dead in Christ. We know that that's going to happen. There's going to be a reunion with Christ, because not only are the dead going to meet him there, but so will the living who've trusted Jesus. And so we know that that's going to happen, and then they're going to be able to spend forever in heaven with him, those who have believed here. And so that's where we began last week. This week we're going to continue on. What we want to do this week is look at your end times. And so this week we want to make it a little bit more personal. We kind of general last week. Here's what's going to happen to believers. Here's what's going to happen to non-believers. This week we want to talk about you and me. And we want to put us where we belong so that we can understand what our end times are going to look like. We're going to focus a lot on those that believe. We're going to spend a lot of time, because hopefully that is where a lot of us are, and I would love to be able to say all of us, but I know that's not true. And again, that's okay. But the reality is that today we want to make sure that as many of us that can believe, do believe. And we want to do that and find out where we're looking at and where we're coming from. Because here's the reality. All of us are going to face two judgments. There are two judgments that we're all going to have to go through. And so we want to understand those that believe and those that don't. Here, the foundation for this we find in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. If you have your Bibles, your phone app, whatever you want to pull out, you can open up your programs, but then follow along on the screen. Here's what that says. Look, I am coming soon. Jesus says, look, I'm coming what? Soon, okay? So we don't know what soon means, but we know soon means soon, right? Whatever that means, we need to understand that he is coming. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, if you're new to Christianity, you need to understand that we're not qualified for heaven. We're not qualified to spend forever in heaven by the things that we do. That's not what happens. We don't get to heaven because we're good people. We don't get to heaven because we do good things. The truth is, you need to understand this. The truth is that every single one of us in here are sinners. The place that differentiates us, the place that separates us, doesn't make one of us better or whatever. That's not the object of it. But the reality is that there are two groups. Those that have believed on what Jesus did to make sure that our sins were taken care of, and those who don't believe. It's pretty simple. You either understand that Jesus came, lived a sinless, perfect life, died on a cross, paid the price for your sins, was taken off that cross, buried, and on the third day raised again, so that not only can you be forgiven of your sins, but you can spend forever in heaven with him. Now, if you believe that, you should applaud that, because that's good stuff. And you should applaud it not only for because you've experienced it, but you should applaud it because people who haven't experienced it need to understand that it is good. It's not something to fear. It's not something to shy away from. It's something that we should all strive for in our lives. Now, here, the problem is that there is a group who've made that decision, and there's a group who haven't. And that's where things get tough. That's where they begin to separate and things go different ways. We don't get to heaven by what we do, but we need to understand once we've made a decision for Christ or not made a decision, that's where things pull us to different places. But what we do understand, those of us that have made that decision, even the good things on earth aren't part of what get us there, but they do determine how we're rewarded when we get to heaven. The things that we do on earth do make a difference in heaven for us. And we need to understand that is a truth that comes down to. The way that you live on earth will determine how you're rewarded in heaven. Let me give you an example. One day, a pastor and a taxi cab driver show up at the gates of heaven. Together, same time, they show up, and St. Pete meets him at the door. All right, at the gate. He's there waiting on them to come in. He brings them on in. He welcomes them. He says, come on in, pastor. Come on in, cabbie. Let me show you around a little bit. So he begins to walk down the streets of gold, and he gets to a place, and he says, now, pastor, over here is your three-bedroom ranch with your half acre and your little picket fence. Mr. Cabbie, over here on the other side of the street is your seven-bedroom mansion. Complete with a seven-car garage, the full swimming pool, you know, the overlooking the seventh hole of the Heavenly Gates golf course. And the pastor's over here thinking, hold on a minute. Oh, wait, no, wait. But St. Pete, hey, can I tell you something? Hey, you do realize that I served God all those years, don't you? You do realize that I was the one who preached all those messages, and I was the one who did all the good stuff. And St. Pete said, yeah, we, you know, I understand that. But see, here in heaven, you get rewarded for the things that you do on earth. And remember all those messages you preached, Pastor? He said, yeah, I absolutely do. I remember how awesome they were. He said, listen, the reality is all those messages that you preached, all people did was sleep through them. But Mr. Cabby over here, went as he drove people wherever they went, they were sure to be praying because of how he was driving. So we believe that he led more people closer to us than you did. So you will be rewarded for how you do it. Now listen, that's not exactly how it works. It's not about getting people to pray. Maybe that's how the pastor ended up there. He was in the cab with the cabbie. I don't know. But anyway, it's not going to work like that. St. Pete's not going to be waiting at the gates, and he's not going to walk us in, and it's just not going to work exactly like that, okay? And it's not going to be about these mansions with pools and over golf courses. It's not going to be about little three-bedroom ranches, which I'm perfectly cool with because I like those, you know, just whatever. I'm just going to be glad to get there because not that I'm worried about getting there or not. I'm just want to get there, okay? But the reality is that heaven is going to be a place where the things that we do here are going to matter. And they're going to help determine what we get when we get there. Now, we all wonder what heaven's like, don't we? We all kind of have that question. Even if we don't believe, if we just think heaven is something, some figment out there, we still want to know what it's like. Right? I remember being a kid and people, you know, always telling me that, you know, heaven was going to be this way or that way. I remember watching a movie when I was a kid. It was called Heaven Can Wait. And it was about this, you know, quarterback that died too early. And anybody remember that movie? Yeah, there's like four of us. Yeah. So the rest of you are probably too young. But it was a pretty cool movie. And I remember seeing what that was like. And, you know, Old God with George Burns as God, and we remember. There's all kinds of movies that determine what heaven is like in our minds. And I remember thinking that heaven was going to be this place where I was going to have to watch my whole life on some big movie screen, and I was going to have to see the good stuff and the bad stuff and all of that. And I was like, well, if I got to go to heaven and watch all the stuff I've done, just go, let me go to hell because there's some things I just don't want to see again, you know? But the reality was, you know, we think we have all these images that make us not even believe that heaven is a place we want to be. But let me tell you, heaven is a place that we want to spend forever because Jesus will be there. And if we understand who he is and what he's done for us, that should be the place that we want to end up. So hopefully by today, as we talk about the judgments we're going to face, as we talk about what heaven will be like, as we talk about what the relationship with Christ is like, that you'll want to be there too. So let's talk about those judgments, because that's a word that we like to get hung up on, isn't it? Well, don't judge me. You're not supposed to judge this, judge that. Listen, let me just be honest. There is going to come a judgment. And we're not going to be able to say, oh, you can't judge me on that, because we are going to be judged. And here's the first one that we need to understand, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're a believer, this is the one that you're going to be at. And this is the one that you want to be at, because this is the one where we're going to understand so much of who Jesus is and be able to spend time with him and see that. Let's talk about where it will take place or when it will take place. A lot of people believe it's going to take place right after the resurrection of the dead and meeting him in the air for those that are alive. Now, we talked about that last week and how that's all going to work. And we believe that it's going to happen right after that, that we'll be in front of him and we'll be judged on some particular things. Now, where does that come from? Why do the biblical scholars believe that? Well, Luke chapter 14 gives us a glimpse into that. Jesus is talking here, and he's like, hey, if you're going to throw a dinner party, who are you going to invite? And so what he's saying in this thing, who are you going to invite? Are you going to invite your family and friends and all your rich people, all your rich neighbors? Are you going to invite them, or are you going to invite the poor people and those who are crippled and those who don't have anything? Basically, what he's talking about here is, why are you going to invite your family and friends and the rich people? Because they can reward you and pay you back right then, right? Because they have something for you. But you don't invite the poor people and those that don't have anything because they can't pay you back, because they can't give something to you. Jesus says, listen, Luke 14, verse 14, he says, although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. He says, listen, the good things that you do, the people that you reach out to that can't give back to you, those that we tend to kind of put off and say, you know, they're just not very valuable in our lives, those that we kind of turn and cross the street to get away from sometimes. He says, listen, those are the people that you need to understand that I want you to minister to. Those are the people that need to be involved in your life, that you need to have relationships with, because there is a reward coming when you reach out to those people. And we understand here that it comes after the resurrection of the righteous. That means that very first part where he meets the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those who are alive and believe in him are going to rise as well. So that's when the judgment seat of Christ is going to happen. But what is it going to be like? Well, here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, most scholars, and I believe this too, that this is the judgment seat for those who are believers in Christ. This is the ones that have trusted him. That this judgment isn't about who has salvation or is facing damnation. That's not what this judgment seat is all about. This judgment seat is dealing with the good and the bad that we've done here on earth as believers. That we've lived out our Christian belief. That we've followed through on the things that he's commanded us to do. Listen, as believers in Christ, it's very clear that the scriptures teach us how we're to live our lives. Jesus said, you'll love me when you do what I tell you to do. And we can try to skirt out from under stuff. We can try to cover it up with our culture. We can try to cover it up with what TV tells us. We can, by what music tells us, movies tell us. We can dress it up and cover it up any way we want. The reality is Jesus made it very clear that we're to follow him. And when we follow him, we're going to do the things that he wants us to do, and we're going to demonstrate our love for him. We need to understand that this judgment seat of Christ is going to take place with him, that he's going to be there seated on the judgment seat. Now, in the Greek, the writing, the word used there for judgment seat is bema, B-E-M-A, the bema seat. And the bema seat is not a seat where the judge would sit. In the Greek language, this wouldn't be the seat where the judge sat who was deciding if somebody was guilty or not. The bema seat is not about guilt or innocence. The bema seat was used in the Greek athletic competitions. When they would sit there, it would be the judge who gave out the rewards and the awards for winning the race. Now, this judge would sit there in this bema seat, handing out awards that were earned throughout the competition. Something for me that's very special to me. It's something that I earned. It's an award that was given to me. I had to work for it. Don't get me wrong, but this is my college diploma. Now, if you don't know, in my family, like, I'm the first one to go through and to earn one. It was a big deal for me to have it. It was a big deal for it to come and to be able to put my hands on it. Because, I worked my tail off for it. Well, the first couple of years, I kind of partied my tail off for it. But anyway, I got there. You know, I got there after a while. But it was something I had to work for and I had to earn, and that meant something when somebody handed it to me. This was an award handed out of a bema seat. It was one handed down because it was an award that was earned. And because of that, it means a ton. Now, I think of all the memories that go along with it. I think about all the things that it took to be able to do it, all the people that it brought into my life, all the opportunities and doors that it opened up for me. And let me tell you that the awards that we win, that we earn through the bema seat, through this judgment of Christ, are going to be ones that we're going to be able to look back on, and it's going to be amazing to think about. Of how we ministered to people in Christ's name, how we did the things that he asked us to do, how we were generous and gave when he told us to give, when we loved somebody who seems completely unlovable to us. Those are going to be the things that are going to be talked about and are going to be earned at this seat. There's a sense of pride that comes with those. Now, let me understand that heaven is not going to be a prideful place. You're not going to be walking around with the rewards that you earn in some big wheelbarrow or wagon behind you bragging about how cool all your rewards are. You're not going to be dragging them down there and say, look at your little wagon. Look at my wagon. My wagon's bigger than your wagon. My wagon's more full than yours. Look at this crown. You know, this one's bigger than yours. You don't have one like this. You know, we're not going to be doing that in heaven. Because listen, that's not what it's going to be about. What I believe is going to happen is the crowns and rewards that we earn there, are when we see Jesus, we're going to be like the elders that Revelation 24 talks about. Revelation 4 talks about where he kneels and they put their rewards at the feet of Jesus. Where, because they realize that they didn't earn them, that the rewards aren't about us. They're about him and what he's done for us to be able to experience it. That we're going to see his nail-scarred hands. That we're going to see his forehead with the scars from the crown of thorns. We're going to see those things, and we're going to put our crown and our rewards at his feet. What kind of crowns are we talking about? Listen, I think there are going to be a lot of different ones. The Bible is very clear about some that we talk about on a regular basis. The incorruptible crown. That's for those that run a faithful race. That the incorruptible crown is those who've lived out their faith and have endured and have made it through. There's the crown of rejoicing. That's for those who share their faith. I think that the potential for that crown is obviously there. I just don't know how many people are going to really earn that crown. How many times do we really share our faith? How many times do we tell people about who Christ is in our lives? Let me tell you that's one of the crowns you should want. Be able to tell people about him. There's a crown of righteousness. Those are for those that long for Christ's return. Talked about it a little bit last week, but those who are anxious to see him come back, who are not sitting here staring for, you know, at the sky waiting for him to come, but those who are ready, those who are wanting to seek him and to see him come and to be able to experience that time. There's the crown of glory. This is one of my favorites. This is for one for the faithful pastors. I hope that's one that I'll be able to be able to have, not out of a prideful, but just knowing that I did what God told me to do as I ministered and as I led. There's some pastors that I know that are going to get them. One of them sitting back in the back of this room that I know is going to earn that. Pastor Eddie, you know, Pastor Gabe, I believe will have that, but I know Pastor Eddie back there, man. He's going to have a big crown of glory. I'm just telling you. He's going to be able to rub that in my face for eternity, you know. So I'm glad that he's going to put it at Jesus' feet, because I know he would get me on that one. But it's the one for pastors. Crown of life, those that suffered on Christ's behalf. Listen, some of us think we're suffering for Jesus because we got a little misty out coming into the church this morning from our car. Let me tell you, that's not the kind of suffering that this is talking about. This is for those who've been persecuted, those who've given their life, they've been martyred, those who have gone through incredible things to be able to have that relationship with Jesus. Those are just some of the crowns. There's a reward waiting for those who have a relationship with Jesus. There are many rewards. The reality of it, though, is who's going to earn it? Who's going to have them? We're not going to be able to rub them in each other's face. We're not going to be able to pick on each other and razz each other like we do about our football, your favorite football teams and all that stuff. But the reality is being able to give those things back. I believe when we stand before Christ, we're going to want more, not so we look better, it's just so we can give him more back. That's what I'm looking forward to. Let's take a moment. In the middle of talking about all the things that we're going to get, and let's think about how this is all going to flow. Because here's the reality. There is a timetable that this is all going to be on. Christ is going to return. We know that there's scripture that backs that up. So let me give you this little suggested timeline that I believe is going to be how it is. Listen, don't tweet this and say, Pastor Ron said this is exactly how it's going to go. Because, listen, we don't know. And if somebody tells you this is how it's going to go, I got to be honest with you. You need to call bull on it. Because we just don't know. We don't know when, and we don't know exactly how. Scriptures give us some insight into it, but the reality is here is what we think it's going to be like. We learned last week about the return of Christ. We then learned that the dead in Christ are going to rise up, that they're going to meet him in the air. The Christians are going to be raptured. We're going to be pulled up into the air, and we're going to meet him there as well. Believers are going to be rewarded. We just talked about how that's going to flow. Then there's going to come a time, a seven-year tribulation. The second 3.5 years of that are going to be worse than the first 3.5 years. It's going to be a terrible time to be alive. And if you're a believer in Christ, you're not going to experience that. But that's going to be a terrible time. There's going to be a battle of Armageddon. It's going to be evil versus righteousness. And our God's going to win. Can I get a whoop whoop? Yeah, that's a good stuff. That's a good thing. Then there's going to be a time where Satan is thrown into a bottomless pit. Let me get another little whoop whoop. I got some whoops and some whoop whoops. Can we have a whoop whoop together? Yeah, there you go. All right. So some of you are a little slow. All right. That's all right. So we got some whoop whoops. We got some good stuff happening. Christ is going to return for a 1,000-year reign. Hey, can I get a, oh yeah. That's a good thing. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. It's known as the millennial reign. He's going to come back. The first time he came back for us, the next time he's coming back with us. It's going to be a good thing. We need to cheer and be excited about that. Then there's the resurrection of the dead. Last week we looked at that. There's the two resurrections. The first one is the resurrection of those dead in Christ. The second one is going to be those that are dead in their own sin. Those who are separated from him, and they're going to be judged. Say, because they're going to face the great white throne of judgment that we're going to talk about in a minute, where they're going to face this time of having to stand before God, separated from him. Then he's going to create this new heaven and earth, and this is going to be an amazing time that those who have begun a relationship with him, those who have met him in the air, those are going to be able to spend that time with him. And we'll get into that here in just a minute. So let's talk about what heaven is going to be like. Because that's where we all want to know. What is it going to be like? How are we going to understand it? And won't we be bored in heaven? I mean, come on, Ron. All the good stuff will be left behind. You know, all the stuff that we have fun with, that we get into trouble with, you know, all that good stuff. You know, the funny jokes that we only laugh about when nobody else is around. You know, that's all going to be gone. What's going to be good about it? It's going to be boring. All we're going to do is sit around and watch a bunch of little naked angels, you know, play harps and shoot arrows and stuff. It's not going to be very fun. What's it going to be like? Let me tell you, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. John, the disciple, had a vision of what heaven was going to be like. And that's the writings of Revelation that we read. And in chapter 21, we see some very specific things that heaven is going to be like. We first find this, that God will establish a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:1, he said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." Now, I got to tell you, I still think there's going to be beaches in heaven, okay? Because that just got to be something like that, because it's too awesome to leave behind. But he'll work that out. So he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." God establishes and creates this new earth without the curse of heaven. He creates a new earth that is like it was supposed to be in the beginning when Adam and Eve first walked, without sin, without the curse that separated them from him, that now separates us from him in our own sin. This new earth is going to be a time to be able to enjoy the things that we enjoy here without the curse of sin. Listen, the things that we've that we've had that have separated from him, those that he's spoken against, those that are clearly not in the scriptures of things that we should do, they're not going to be there. We won't have to worry about that. It'll be a world without that curse. We'll be able to walk with God daily. Think about that. Think about what it's like if you've ever had a moment where you've just been able to sit, and maybe it was on the beach, maybe it was in the mountains, wherever your spot may be, but you go there and you sit and you're able to have this connection where you're able to just pray and believe and just know that God's hearing what you're talking about, and you're able to kind of experience everything around you. And listen, that's going to be what heaven is going to be like. This new earth and new heaven is going to be like that, where you're able to just experience everything and be able to experience God most of all, because he will be present with you. This is going to be an amazing place to be. Take your best moment. Take your best moment on earth. Just humor me for a second. Think about the best thing that's ever happened to you. Raise your hand when you got that in your head. Think about it. The best thing. Best thing that's ever happened to you. Get it in your head. Get it there. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm about to get on you now. Come on. All right. You got it in your head? All right. Some of you just wouldn't raise your hand if I was giving away a bunch of money. But anyway, here's a reality. Get that in your head and then think about that paling in comparison to what just an average day in heaven would be like. Man, I think about, you know, the experiencing the love of my wife, you know, our wedding day, think about the birth of my kids, think about the day that I decided and knew that I needed Christ in my life, and the feeling of that weight coming off of me and being able to just know that I have this relationship now with the God who created me. And I think about, man, heaven's going to be greater than that. Man, it's going to be good stuff. And we need to understand that it's going to be there for us, that he will establish this new heaven and this new earth, that we'll be able to experience that on a daily basis. The second thing is that you will never suffer again. Man, think about it. You'll never suffer again. Revelation 21, verse 4 and 5. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He was seated on the throne. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Think about that. He says there's no more death, no more mourning. That's for you guys that don't like to get up. You know, there'll be no more mourning. You know, read that however you want. I think it's pretty cool, you know. I can just sleep in. So nobody, you know, no alarm going off. No, there'll be no mourning. There's no pain. There's nothing to experience like that. For those that have lost loved ones, I think we can all identify with that in the room. Probably all lost somebody that we love, but there's no more death. There's no more mourning. There's no more missing that person. No more crying. No more pain. Those of you in here today that are hurting, whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally, whether it's spiritually, whether it's whatever is the cause of that, listen, there's no more of that in heaven. New heaven and earth, there'll be no more pain, no more suffering. Your body may hurt today. In heaven, that pain won't be there anymore. You won't have to experience that. No more headaches. If you ever watch somebody suffer physically, you won't have to watch that. No more cancer, no more diabetes, no more AIDS, no more famines, no more sickness, no more starvations, no more wars, no more divorce, no more loneliness, no more agony, no more pain. Y'all, that's what we long for, right? Wouldn't that be high on our list if I could tell you that you would never have to experience pain again of any sort? Wouldn't we all want that? The Bible promises us that through God's word. He promises us that that's what heaven will be like. He'll establish a new heaven, a new earth. You'll never have to suffer again. The third thing is this, that you'll live with God forever. That's the way Revelation 21:3 describes it. It's like the 20th time that it's used in Revelation. Here's what it says, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And this is the final declaration from the throne. As if God saying, finally, it's done. It's restored. It's back to the way I created it. It's the way I wanted it. My children are with me and I am with them. Says it's back the way it was meant to be all along. I don't know about you, but you know, my picture of who God is and what he is has drastically changed throughout my life. I remember being a teenager and, you know, God was some figment out there that, you know, was just a kind of a fairy tale, and you know, I knew he kind of liked me, you know, and he gave me good stuff, and I could ring him up anytime that I needed some more stuff, you know, that was what I thought of God. But now I realize that, you know, as I've grown to spend time with him and a relationship with him and understand more by reading who he is and understand that he created me specifically, that Ron wasn't just one of the many down the line, that Ron was somebody that he created specifically, just like he did all of us. And all of you were created that way. You weren't some factory, you know, line, you know, you weren't just the next unit down. You were created specifically for a very specific purpose in life. And maybe you hadn't got to that place that you've begun to look for it. Maybe you haven't, you know, you've been looking and hadn't found it. Let me tell you, it's there. You need to keep looking. Because he wants you to know what it is. Because he wants you to fulfill it. But I remember watching how I changed and I began to realize who he is. And that he wanted this relationship with me. And so now not only did he want a relationship with me while I walked here, but he wanted a relationship with me that would carry out through all eternity. And listen, he wants that same relationship with you. And it comes by trusting in who Jesus is, what he's done for you, and then following the things that he asked you to do. That's who he wants you to be. Begin to understand that he doesn't just love us to love us, but that he loves us because that's who he is. He is love. He is the essence and the center of it. And he created us to be the object of it, of that love. I don't know about you, but I know this weekend obviously kept me at home a bunch. You know, I didn't want to be out in all the rain, so I got to hang out with my girls at home. And it was a great time of just us. You know, we weren't all together all the time, but we were all in the same house. And it was just kind of cool to have different interactions. And little Aaron, my six-year-old, kept wanting to, as I worked on my message and different things at my computer, kept climbing up and kept combing my hair and doing all kinds of stuff with it and different things. And Allie, my 12-year-old, yeah, she walked around with her headphones in the whole time. And every now and then she would yank them out whenever she wanted to tell me what she wanted me to do for her. But anyway, see, she's in You Are a Kid today, so I can talk junk about her. So anyway, but no, we had a great time just interacting with each other at different points. And I think about how, no matter what it is, how I love my girls. That the cool thing was is I wanted to be with them. I wanted them around to just be there. Not you didn't have to be together the whole time and up each other's butts all the time. We just needed to be there together. You know, it's kind of cool just to be around each other and have that. And I think about the fact of that's how much I love my girls. But my God loves me so much that for me to be able to have that kind of time with him, that he would let his son be killed on a cross. Now think about that. Heaven is so amazing and so worthwhile that God would sacrifice his own son so that you and I could have our sins paid for and be able to have a relationship with him that allowed us to spend eternity in heaven. In his presence, love, exchanging that love with each other the whole time. What an amazing thing heaven is. And we need to understand that Revelation is the end of the Bible that tells us what the story is all meant to be about. Is how it's meant to end. The problem is, for some of us, we've looked at the end of the story and we've said, you know, it's really cool. I'm just not sure I'm willing to do what I have to do to experience it. Because we've really confused heaven and hell. Here's how we've confused them. We've confused heaven with the default destination. We've begun to believe that heaven is the default. That's just where we go. Let me tell you that's not true. The scriptures, as you read them and as you understand what sin does and how it separates us, the real default destination for every single one of us is hell. If we don't do anything and we just live our lives and we do it our way and we float on down the river, let me tell you that our destination is hell. It's separated from God forever. And that we'll come to a place where we'll have to be judged for what we've done and how we've lived, and that's where we would spend forever. Listen, that's heavy. And some of you are in here like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't like this hell thing. We're getting a little bit, Ron, you've said hell more than once, and I'm just not liking it because we're talking about it. Let me be honest with you. If you follow the scriptures, it's very clear that you and I, left to ourselves, that's what we get. That's where we end up. We've gone to funerals, and we've seen Uncle Joe. Oh, Uncle Joe, you know, he's a good old guy. Uncle Joe was a good man. Uncle Joe didn't bother nobody. Uncle Joe would help people out every now and then. Uncle Joe, you know, he didn't drink or smoke or cuss or, you know, or dip or any of that. Didn't hang out with women that did those things either. You know, he's just a good old guy. You know, he didn't do everything right, but Uncle Joe, man, he was a good guy. I guess he's just in a better place now, right? You ever said that? You know, just he's in a better place now. Have you ever said that and for a moment just wondered, is he really in a better place now? See, lots of times we say that. One, we say it and we know it's not true. Because Uncle Joe really wasn't such a great guy. In fact, he was a mean old cuss. But we want to believe that Uncle Joe, because he's dead and gone, we want to believe the best. We want to believe that that's where he now is in heaven and he's looking down on us. Listen, I've had to do funerals for people that I didn't know where they stood. I didn't know whether there had been a moment where they accepted Christ or not. You talk about a tough funeral. Because I can't say that. I don't ever want to give somebody the false hope that somebody's in heaven and they may not be. And so, because I don't think that's fair. It's not about being right or wrong. It's just I don't think it's fair. Because my Bible and my relationship with God tells me that there's only one way to heaven. And that's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that begins when you or I trust that he died on the cross, paid the price for our sins, was buried and raised again. And if you don't make that, then your default destination is eternally separated from God, and that's in a place called hell. So the reality is we don't want the default. We want to move beyond it. We don't want to just be Uncle Joe where everybody says I'm in a better place now, but we don't really know if he is or not. Listen, I want to live my life, and I want you to live your life so that people know. So the pastor doesn't have to wonder. So the people don't have to wonder. I want to be able to live my life, and I want you to live your life so that you know, for without a shadow of a doubt, that you know where you'll spend your eternity. Not in the default destination, but in the heaven destination, the one that comes from the relationship. We want to be able to spend that. It's tough. Not everybody will go to heaven. That's a harsh statement. I get it. It's one of those that we don't like. It doesn't feel good. But I got to tell you, it's not, if I told you anything else, I'd be lying to you. And so today I want to make sure that we understand that here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Let me tell you, last week was amazing. We had four people who raised their hand to be able to enter the narrow gate. But four people who said, hey, I want that relationship with Christ that leads me to the narrow gate. And because of that, that's good stuff. But the truth is that many, Jesus said it, many will go through the broad gate. That's a lot of people traveling the wrong way. So we need to understand that there's going to be a judgment that we're going to have to sit through. We're going to sit through it as a believer in Christ to be the judgment seat of Christ, or we're going to sit through a second judgment, which is the great white throne judgment. This is the one that Christians won't be at. If you've accepted Jesus, you won't have to sit through this one. This is the one that's going to come down to those who have chosen the broad path. This is the ones who've chosen to not accept that relationship, to not make a decision to follow him in it. The great white throne judgment is one that we read about in Revelation 20, verse 11. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now listen, we talked about this last week, and people love to talk about Revelation. We all want to talk about the end times, right? We want to know what it's going to be like. When you read Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, you need to know that that's what it will be like. That those whose name is not found in the book of life, those who've not made that decision to accept Christ, well, there's a pretty difficult ending waiting there for them. It's tough. It's hard to stand up here and talk about that. In fact, it's been a heck of a week. Just quite personally, I'm just being honest with you. This is one of the things that tears my guts up. Is I have to stand before a crowd of people and read what the scriptures say, knowing that they're true and accurate, and have to know that somebody sitting in the crowd that's listening, their name's not written in the book. It's difficult, but it's true. So this is a heavy message. This is one of those that man, if I could give it to Pastor Gabe, I would, you know, so I wouldn't have to preach it, make him preach it. But the truth is, whether Gabe preaches it or I preach it, the scriptures hold true that without a relationship with Jesus, without coming to a saving knowledge to understand what the cross was really all about Jesus giving his life on it to pay the price for our sin, we spend forever separated from God. And so today, listen, we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about what it'll be like to be a Christian and how the great, you know, the judgment seat of Christ for those who believe will be a time where we'll be rewarded for the good things we're able to do because of the relationship we have. We talked about how heaven will be this place where we won't have to suffer anymore. We'll be in God's presence, that there'll be a new heaven and earth opened up for us as believers. But we've talked about the fact that there's going to be this amazing relationship that we can have with God for all eternity. And it would be really cool to stop there. But the truth is that there are people who will never experience that. There are people in this room who will never experience that unless you make a decision to accept Christ and what he's done for you. See, that's the good part. See, the message started out really good because of all these cool things that heaven is, and it gets to the place where what heaven isn't. And heaven isn't a place for people who don't have a relationship. So listen, there's hope. There is something good out of it. We can't leave here today saying, oh man, that was a really bad message, and oh man, he talked about hell, and oh man, I can't believe. No, you need to talk about heaven because we can all experience it. I'm like the dude standing in the road, you know, the bridge is out. We've seen all the pictures all weekend long where the roads are washed out. There's a really cool video where you actually can just watch the road. The water's pushing on it, and it finally just goes. Even the big culvert in there, it just washes away. It's amazing to watch the power of this water. But I feel like the guy standing there, like some dude's driving down the road, flying down, and he's heading towards it, and I'm waving my arms and saying, hey, dude, the road's out. You're going to get washed away. You're going to die. And he has to make a choice. Does he stop or does he keep going? Listen, today that's you. If you've never made a decision to accept Christ, I'm waving my arms at you. And I'm saying, listen, you need to understand it's real. It's true. And the road's out. And when you get to the end, when you get there, it's a long drop. And you have to decide today, are you going to hit the brakes? Are you going to heed the warning, and are you going to accept the solution and the hope to be alive forever? Or are you going to keep going and crash and burn? Let's pray together. God, thank you for today. God, this is one of those heavy messages, and God, no one knows that more than you. God, you're not about sending people to hell. God, quite the opposite. You did everything that you could to keep people out of it, even to the point of sacrificing your son on a cross. So God, today, my prayer is that we don't hear that we hear the negative, but God, we don't wallow in it. That God, we understand today that there is a hope for us. Though separated on our own and left to our own, we are damned to a place forever without you. But God, because of you and because of your love for us, there is a solution and a hope for forever in your presence. God, today we are faced with a choice. God, for those in the room who've made that choice, hallelujah. God, for those in the room who've never made that decision, God, may they hear you and not me. May they hear your voice calling them. And may they choose today to accept your gift of salvation, to accept your gift of rescue. God, the truth is that you are coming back, that there will be an end, whether we take it in our physical body or whether we take it in our spiritual body. There is an end coming. And so, God, I pray that today that our end will be made sure of, that it will be an end that brings us into your presence forever. God, for those that need to make a decision to accept you today, I pray that they would do that right now, to acknowledge that they've sinned, as we all have, that sin has separated them from you forever, but because of your son Jesus dying on the cross and paying the price for that sin, that now they can accept it, acknowledge it, begin that relationship with you. My prayer is that today that we leave different than we came. for those that need to accept you for the first time, that they would do that. For those of us that maybe have accepted, but God just chosen to live on our own, that we would make a decision today to live differently and live as if we're going to spend forever in your presence. And God, knowing that you reward us there for how we live here. God, move in our hearts today. God, do something in us that maybe some of us haven't experienced in a long time, if ever. And that would be that your presence drives us to be different. We pray this in Jesus' name.